It's time for deep bunkers and undulating fairways.
Oh, do I hear the sound of breaking glass? No? That looked fine until you hit it.
This is an Open Championship week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
What are you two doing out here? Why are you not at school?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. We've had fun today.
It's been a weird show.
Got off to a delayed start, but we're here. Nonetheless, we are here. The poll question is up. You can go vote. Do you sometimes drive through an intersection unsure if the light was green or not? Yes or no? At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll give it a vote.
Also,
and we'll update those at the end of the show.
Got another poll question posting right now. Are you worried about the Blazers' future in Portland after Adam Silver referenced needing a new arena? Yes. Uh-huh. Red alert. No. Not at all.
So that's where I want to start. Sadder story coming up in a bit. We got the Open Championship teeing off tonight, and we'll talk all about all of that coming up here in the final hour of the show. Mm. We played this earlier. I'm going to replay it again. It's only about 30 seconds long, and then I'm going to read a couple thoughts because there is something there for me, and I don't know maybe if I'm just being too alarmist and worried and unnecessarily so. This was yesterday. So Sean Hyken, friend of the program, Rose Garden Report, he was at Silver does his Vegas, you know, press conference, state of the league, whatever you want to call it, for Summer League. And Sean Hyken was there representing the city of Portland and said, hey, man, Blazers are for sale. What do you know? What do you hear? What's going on there? And here was the answer that Adam Silver gave to him.
It's the league's preference that that team remain in Portland. We've had great success in Portland over the years. I don't have a specific update on the process, but I know it is underway. And I know there are groups that are actively engaged with the estate and have demonstrated interest in that team. I'd say one of the factors there is the city of Portland likely needs a new arena. So that will be part of the challenge for any new ownership group coming in. But it does certainly be our preference that team remain in Portland.
So the word preference is alarming for me. That was the first one. And then the arena stuff, like, is it just leverage to use other cities against Portland in order to get them to build a new arena? Is renovations going to be enough? We had asked about, you know, listener feedback on this earlier in the show. I want to read a couple of these comments and then we'll dive back into it. And then one listener said, why is it a surprise to folks regarding a new arena in Portland? The Moda Center has poor scoreboards, questionable concession choices, no outside surrounding businesses. Inside lighting is poor. Just a few of the items. I hope it works out for the Blazers, but why would you buy this team in the current state of the Moda Center? That continues. Another one said, a new arena talk doesn't put me in a panic, but it does send me down the road of the buyer using the threat of leaving Portland or Portland paying more of the cost for the new arena to keep the team here. It's frustrating because Silver just added two more cards to the buyer's hand to use as leverage to get everything something with the stadium at some point. Fear becomes a reality. So a lot of those kind of similar thoughts are coming in. Another one said a Blazers new owner will use Seattle and Vegas to try and get the city to build the arena. Unfortunately, our city is stupid and hates sports when it comes to voters. And poof, the Blazers will vanish like a fart in the wind. So I think this is something that's out there. And when you use the word preference, Adam Silver could have taken a much stronger stance against this yesterday, and he clearly chose not to. Now, is there something there? I don't know, but my alarm antennas have gone up in the last 24 hours.
Well, look, I kind of think I lean more the second one you read of leverage. And where I kind of go with it, because the obvious solution is to get rid of the Coliseum. It's the most obvious thing that people have been talking about forever. But they are reluctant. They've got all these weird architecture agreements, and
I mean, I see the point. It's literally not going to happen. They're literally dumping in millions of dollars as we speak.
So I agree.
In theory, you are 100% right. It's not going to happen.
That was the avenue they should have gone, is what I'm saying. And now I kind of wonder more the latter. We just elected a mayor that says he's super pro business and wants to bring Portland back and clean up the streets, all that stuff. Okay, like, what are the rest of the city officials going to be like when we talk about a stadium, an arena?
Yeah, and are we talking about a stadium and a new arena outside of the city?
Well, and then you got the jock tax that just got passed, right? Like, are they going to be, if there's no baseball situation, are they going to be, I don't know how all that works with the legislation of a basketball team and an owner wanting to use it, and then how much private versus public, and then that fight is probably not going to go well here locally because we know how the local government operates, so I think it's more a leverage play And then also just the renovations that have to happen by 2030 for the women's Final Four. Like, what does that look like? Can they operate in a way that expands those renovations to even further? I mean, because Climate Pledge, its bones are Key Arena.
Yeah, the roof is Key Arena. They gutted the entire thing,
just
rebuilt
it. Gutted it, and they completely make it look different than what I remember going into Key Arena. Are we able to do that, or are we talking entirely new arena? There's a lot of questions with this, and I do worry about the leverage play of it, but I'm not in panic mode.
How will we feel about the Blazers having an arena in Damascus? You would love it.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
It'd be weird.
I mean,
it?
I'm taking myself out of this. You got to think
locale
of everybody else.
Yeah,
it's very odd.
It would be very strange, would it not?
Why Damascus?
Farmland. I'm trying to think of, yeah, land's cheap, and where is there a lot of open space?
You think the land is cheap? I've looked it up, brother. That land ain't cheap. It's cheap for them, but it,
yeah, you know. I mean, to your point on the whole jock tax thing with baseball, like, you bet your ass whoever's buying the Blazers, unless we just get a Ballmer that's like, whatever, dude, I got billions and I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need your help. Because I'm pretty sure that Ballmer did that with the Clipper Dome, right? Did they get public money for that? What do they call the Clipper Stadium?
No, I think he did all
that. He was just like, dude, I'm doing this. I got money.
I'm sure the city had to do something. You know,
he's the richest owner in the sport.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so unless
kind of the roads around it and maybe
sure, there is
some
zoning and infrastructure that took place.
But as far as the arena, I think Ballmer just wrote the check.
He's like, get out of the way. I'm building a new arena. So unless we get one of those, you bet your ass whoever is buying the Blazers is going to ask for the same jock tax that the baseball team signed. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that is in that law that I believe is being said that it is only applying Major League Baseball, and so the owner's going to ask for that. Will they pass it? I would hope so. They just pass it for baseball. Up to $800 million, that covers at least a decent chunk of what it would cost to build a new arena. The idea of building a new arena inside the city limits, if you're not doing something on the same site, my mind goes back to a lot of the stuff that we've dealt with the baseball stadium talk of where do you put it? Where does it go? Do you tear something else down? Are we back into a conversation about the Lloyd Center hosting a game? Like, where is it going to work out for you from an infrastructure standpoint, from a parking standpoint? And are you going to be able to get a more eagerly willing to work with you city official if you go outside city limits? And this was the biggest thing that the Diamond Project, no matter how you feel about it and whether its likelihood of happening is, I believe, I don't know this for certain, but I believe that they desperately wanted to put it outside the city limits of Portland. And ultimately, the city of Portland came together and they worked and they said, hey, how about we give you the Red Tail land to build your hotels and retail and all you want to put there, but you do us a favor by keeping the team or building the stadium inside the city limits because we want to revitalize it. Will you get that same deal for an NBA team? Like, it opens up a whole new can of worms that you have to deal with as a fan. And as one listener is saying, take it from a Charger fan. Do I think they're going to leave? No. But the Chargers dangled this carrot in front of the fans forever with the new stadium. At some point, fear becomes reality. And so if this commissioner of the sports coming out right now and telling you they're likely going to need a new arena, this is bidding that he's doing for a new owner, and it's bidding that he's doing for other cities to try and get that deal done.
Well, See, what's weird about this is he has to be aware that they're doing major renovations, I would imagine, right? Or is he... I mean, look, it's Portland. It's not the biggest of concerns to him right now.
I would hope he would know what was going on in one of his...
For him to use the term new arena is like... That's the part. If he was like, and they're currently undergoing and they got to make sure they finish those major renovations, okay, there's no panic for me there. But the fact that you need a new arena, which, okay, fine...
Oh, so we're going to dump millions in for renovations for the Final Four and then
build
a new...
That's a waste of money.
And then build a new arena?
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. Well, and you bring up a good point, which needs to be remembered. The Coliseum is currently going through million-dollar renovations.
Drive by the Coliseum right now. It is getting a total facelift
on
the inside.
That would be another... Not that we don't waste our money in this city, but that would be another waste of funds to do these multi-million-dollar renovations and then say, you know what, actually, we don't want the building.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. I'm glad we spent $5 million on this.
Yeah, it's just as weird. Somebody said that pro sports taxes is stupid. We're never going to get a single free agent in any sport with the tax in place who, in the right mind, is going to come here.
I mean,
pay an extra tax just to come play rather than go to some place where they still can't believe that's the way we're trying to fund it. It's dumb, and I don't want public funding to go to it, but this is not the way to actually fund it.
I do think the tax thing is it's a little overblown.
It for sure is. I think it's more of it's a symbolic look. We're not taking your money, but we're using public money, but it might be $800, but we don't know how much it's going to be. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this again, and I'll reiterate what I said earlier. And I know that there's people that adamantly disagree with this, and that's fair.
It's a tough topic.
It's a very tough topic. The arena stuff is one of the things that drives me up a wall. And this is true of whether it's my market or other markets. The idea that other new stadiums have better bells and whistles than you, so you have to build a new... What's the cost of a new NBA arena?
$2 to $3 billion.
So we got to spend $2 to $3 billion because our scoreboards aren't nice enough?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Because our concession stands aren't up to your standard? Like, that's fine. I wish that there were better concession stands there, too.
Right.
We got to build a new arena because of that?
That's what the industry is, though.
Like, I'd love for the surrounding area to be built up. That's not the Moda Center's fault. That's the fault that they've never really put money into it, and we just had a lot of public money that was pulled from an effort to try and do that.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that's kind of the name of the game in sports now, isn't it?
No doubt about it. This is a larger gripe of the state that we're in of like, what? Why do we need better? But the arena is fine. It's got good sight lines. It's in an okay, I mean, not a terrible
it's just,
spot.
It's just dated in a lot of ways. I'm not saying you're not right here. I'm just saying like that's like, their kind of logic of how dated it feels.
I walk through the Coliseum and I think, damn, this is old. It smells like pee sometimes and old hot dogs. I don't walk through the Moda Center and have that feeling.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm alone in that. There's people that go to the arena far more than I do, and I'm sure there's all sorts of things that you hate about it.
Yeah.
But
there's all venues that keep going in the same venue, and they just make their slight changes. There's also, they blew up Yankee Stadium.
They did.
I mean, Madison Square Garden is still Madison Square Garden,
right.
But they have gutted and redone it two or three times.
That thing
in
was
the
around
last
when King Kong
years.
Climbed the tower, dude. That thing's been around.
It's been
seen
around
some
for a
stuff,
minute,
man.
It has been through. It's been through some stuff.
So, like,
I think the capacity is enough for basketball and for concerts. I don't think you need to expand.
They don't
the capacity.
Need that.
It's at 23,000, right?
It's right around 20 for basketball.
20,000.
Call it 20 on a really full night. It's 20.
When the concert, you pack a couple thousand on the floor.
I don't think it's the capacity.
I think the problem is the other stuff. It's the other stuff, and I don't know how much is also in the background, like the ingress egress, getting stuff in and out. Like if you want to have if you want to bring. Finally, an NBA All-Star game to Portland, which I'm sure a new owner would probably be interested in doing shortly after taking over the team. There's probably some things that the NBA requires you to be able to do in the arena that it may not have the capacity to do.
Yeah, I just, you know, the other part of it for me, and this is, I'll try and end on an optimistic note. If I had billions of dollars and I'm buying an NBA, like I'm in the bidding and I got all this money laying around and I'm going to be the owner of the Blazers and I got to build a new arena and I know the city's not going to work with me a ton, but maybe I get a jock tax of some kind to help me pay for it.
Is it? I mean, but it is fair to say whether you're pro or anti or public money, it's fair to say like the city needs to be having and be open-minded to stuff.
The city needs to do whatever it
needs to get out.
Can you imagine how much of a disaster it'd be if we lost the Blazers?
I can't begin to
fathom. I don't even want to go there mentally.
No, I can't begin to fathom.
What would our sports landscape look like? We need more, not less.
Yep. Well, yeah. But you got people that don't believe in that.
Which is sad.
That's the tough part.
That is the very tough part. But what I was going to say was if I were one of these billionaires buying the team and building the arena and funding a lot of this, the other part that I would desperately want, and this is my glass half full end of the segment, I would want an NHL team there too. Like if I'm going to build a new arena, I would want to double bill my bookings for the entire winter and make my money.
See,
back.
Now you're just getting ahead of yourself on something we have no idea if that
person's
even going to be interested in.
That was the thing for Paul Allen when he built the Moda Center. I mean, that was a thought that they had when they built the arena with the sight lines that he wanted to have an NHL team there, and it never came to fruition. They tried. He came close a couple of times, but it never happened. I'm just saying if I were spending billions of dollars to build an arena, I'm not just doing it for an NBA team. I'm going to want two different teams playing in there and hosting concerts because that's an expensive-ass thing to do. And just having an NBA team there with that cost doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But I, you know, look, saying preference, that was a word choice by Adam Silver that sent a lot of people in this market into a tizzy. And we'll see how it plays out going forward. It's not going to end anytime soon. I mean, we're still a long ways away from settling that sale. We'll see how it goes. We'll update you whenever anything else comes out. Let's get to Sadder Story. That is next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. It is Stat or Story time. Hit me with the music. There it is. Herbie Hancock. Who wants to start today? Who wants to go first?
You want to go first?
First. All right, lead us off, Swag.
Your number is 11.
11.
11.
Is it the number of home runs the Big Dumper needs to hit post All-Star game to break the single season record for most home runs hit by a catcher?
Oh, that's a good question.
I know this one.
You know this one.
I know this
one. Or
okay. Yeah,
is it the number one hits Barry Manilow has had in his career?
Is that tonight? When's that show?
Tonight.
Tonight? Barry Manilow tonight?
Oh, you're going to Barry Manilow tonight?
Tonight at Moda Center. I'll give you a Moda Center update.
Give us a Moda Center
give
preview.
Give me a Moda Center update.
Hump night.
So, yes. No, I... I don't know. They've already made reservations for 3 o'clock to start partying for this thing.
Does Lil Baby?
Whoa, that's early. What time does the show start?
7.
Whoa.
Will it start at 7 or 7:30? Is Manilow a late guy?
Who opens for Barry Manilow?
Nobody.
Nobody opens for Barry
open
Manilow.
For Barry
no.
Manilow.
No, he just Barry Manilow comes on when Barry Manilow's ready to go. You felt very confident, so I'll let you answer first.
Is lovemaking at your age still as exciting as it once was?
Yes.
Okay. Blood's still flowing. Good to know. Yeah, this is a stat.
This is a stat.
This is a stat.
This is a stat.
I'm versed very well in my Barry Manilow numbers. I yes. also know this is a stat.
Okay. I'm going to double dip. Stat. Yeah. It would have been really funny if you got that wrong. Part of me was kind of rooting for that to be wrong.
I completely guessed.
Who currently holds the record for most home runs hit by a catcher in a season?
Javi Lopez.
Golly. I mean,
no.
Johnny Bench.
No, he's second. He hit 45 in 1970.
Yogi.
No.
No. Pudge Rodriguez.
Salvador Perez.
Why didn't you let me keep going?
Salvador Perez?
I
would have never guessed that.
48.
Wow.
I would have never guessed that in a million
big
years.
Big Dumper needs 11.
He's younger than Dirt, by
Did
the way.
Did we investigate that Salvador Perez year?
I mean, if
one
this...
One of these is not like the other.
If this dude gets to like 58...
I mean, it's a thing for sure. If it's an outlier year, without a doubt, it's a thing. He's already got a career high in home runs.
Yes.
Salvador Perez is younger than you.
He's 35 years old. I know.
Seems like he's
47.
That doesn't make any sense when I see him.
He's been playing in the big leagues for like 15 years now.
He's got that
like.
DeAndre Ayton.
He absolutely does.
Barry has 13 number one singles in his career. His first one was Mandy in 1974.
Nice.
Mandy.
Yeah.
By the way, Salvador Perez, 48 home runs in 2021. He has no other years in his career where he's hit 30. His next high is 27.
He's got a Brady Anderson feel.
No, let's not go there.
Dude, that is a mass. Like, no other 30s, and
hot
then
streak.
You hit a 48.
Hot streak.
For a year.
Hot streak. I'll go next.
All right, go ahead.
Your number is 4.
How was he only 7th in MVP voting as a catcher? He had 48 home runs and 121 RBIs, and he was 7th in MVP voting.
Well, how good were the Royals that year?
I mean, 2021, they were probably pretty bad.
That's why you're not getting the MVP on a bad team. Unless you're Mike Trout.
Unless you're Russell Westbrook.
All right, your number's 4.
4.
4.
Is it the ranking number of 1, CeeDee Lamb, on ESPN's wide receiver rankings, according to exec scouts and general managers?
Oh.
Or is it the number of an object that the scientists have found to be flying through our solar system at 1,000,000 miles per hour? They've only seen this happen a few times. Is this the 4th time ever they've caught this happening?
Ah, okay.
They're not 100% confident, by the way, that it is a comet. or an ice rock because of the way it's moving.
Okay.
So some are wondering interstellar travel possibly happening that we're catching.
We got aliens coming back to us again?
Well, you know my theory. My theory is that it's actually us from the future.
Coming back to warn ourselves.
Looking to warn ourselves of stuff.
That. Is it in the form of a DeLorean? What are we
easy.
I'm going to go.
By the way, I'm finishing Back to the Future 3 tonight. I'm excited.
Oh, there you go.
Underrated.
Are you
I
making
like
the
that
kids
one.
Watch it?
No.
The
kids won't do it.
They're
with
not
me.
Into it.
No, they won't. They won't jump in and enjoy Marty and Doc the way I do.
Yeah.
I do think the third one gets crapped on way too much. I really enjoy the third one.
I did too.
The
I enjoyed
West.
That movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try the wake up shot that he took.
Yeah.
Like what's in the hot
wake
pepper,
up
the wake up juice, or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Clayton Ravine.
Clayton Ravine.
I'm going to go stat here, Bob.
I think I'm going to go stat. Like, I'm looking at wide receivers, and I'm like, I'm wondering who NFL execs would rank higher than that. Like, Chase, definitely. Hmm. Jefferson, definitely.
Okay, and then?
And then you're kind of in that gray area, so that kind of, I'm gonna. That seems like a stat. I'm going to go stat.
Stat, stat.
Stat, stat.
All right. Congratulations.
Look at us. Look at us.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb coming in fourth, according to execs, GMs, and scouts. Would you care to guess who third is? Because you guessed the top two.
Top two, I guessed. Who's third?
Garrett Wilson?
Nope.
No.
He got paid like one, but
Terry
nope.
McLaurin?
Nope. Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. Okay. Still waiting to get paid.
This one is wrong. It's inaccurate. They got this wrong.
From lat
three.
I say this pretty
Neighbors is too early. He can't be three that early.
He is
can he?
Top 10, and that's
he's
pissing
top 10.
People off.
Amon Ross St. Brown?
No. Should be, but no.
No.
No, but that's a good guess.
Who are we DK? Missing? Whoever we guessed. DK?
Of all the names you guys have thrown out, I honestly, at this point right now, I would rank all of the names you've said above this dude.
Debo?
No.
Drake
no.
London?
No.
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 Who are we missing? Ladd McConkey?
No, not Ladd.
Not Ladd.
Puka?
Not Puka.
Is Davante Adams getting the legacy vote?
No.
Wow.
Who are we missing? Who else is
man.
Even out there?
There's an obvious one.
Tyreek Hill?
Boom!
Tyreek Hill. Huh?
They think Tyreek Hill is the third best receiver in football still. I'm sorry. That's just wrong.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
No.
I just think that's wrong.
I agree with you there. Yeah. All right. Last but not least. Did we get your story, by the way, on the flying objects? Did you tell us that part of the story?
No.
Well, it's so there's
they
a flying object going through our solar system currently at 1,000,000 miles per hour, but it's a size that makes them uncomfortable to where they can't classify it as an interstellar space comet.
Mm.
But it might be a space comet. So it could just be a floating thing. They don't expect to get past Jupiter, but it also...
It's a little scary.
If it's a ship.
I hope it's us from the future. That'd be cool.
Telling you, man, I really believe in that theory.
That'd be cool. Like, what if your future self just walked off a spaceship? What's up, Sprague?
Well, I'm a kind of a...
Get you on one of these. Remember that? Remember that show? That was fun. It's a good time.
It's only going to get worse for you going forward. I'm a multiverse guy. I believe there are
multiple versions of you.
Of you living slightly different lives, yeah.
All right, last but not least, I will go. Your number is 666.
Six.
Six is your number. Is it the record for most home runs hit in an All-Star game by a player in their career?
Oh.
Career.
Or is it the percentage increase in chance you have of dying before the age of 70 if you suffer frequent nightmares?
So a player might have 6 home runs in their home run in their All-Star career?
All-Star game, all-time All-Star game career.
Who would it be if you could guess somebody that went
like
yard?
Like Mickey Mantle.
Oh, God.
I would go somewhere back there
when it was all white.
The wonderful whites of the All-Star game.
Going just back when you had fewer teams and like the same dudes were going all the time. Maybe yeah, Hank like, Aaron.
Well,
Hank
Sosa, did Sosa go yard in a game?
Yeah, but...
I got to think of the Reuters, I think.
So I thought that I had this idea because I thought this last night.
Reggie?
Pete Alonso hit a 3-run bomb, and I'm like, it feels like he's hit a lot of bombs in All-Star games. That was his first ever All-Star
well,
game
yeah,
home run.
It's the home run derby.
It's all been the home run derby.
I'm going to go story.
I'm going to go stat.
You're going to go story stat?
Yeah. Story stat.
Okay. Hold on. Let me find my drop page here.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on real quick. Hit you. Sorry. Oh, wrong one. My apologies.
What?
That's just what I do. Story stat is where we're going. Sprague story. Stat. It is stat. Stan Musial. 6 home runs.
Ah, there you go.
Stan
his
man.
Career.
Stan
the man.
Man.
Stan
the
man.
There are 2 guys with 4. Who are they? They are Ted Williams and Fred Lynn. They have 4.
Wow, Freddie Lynn.
Freddie Lynn has 4 career home runs in All-Star games.
I actually have a fun Fred Lynn story.
Do you really?
P1 of my gambling show when I did it with Lucy Burge.
Fred Lynn, huh?
Like, religiously watched our show.
I wonder why.
That's me.
He wanted your gambling takes.
Look at me, dude. I should be on television. Lucy Burge. Incredibly good looking.
Lucy Burge is tweeting out ping pong gambling takes today, and I'm like, yes, Lucy.
Could have been a good degenerate.
Yeah, that's deep level stuff. No, they have done a study. Where did this come from? The Imperial College in London tracked over 183,000 adults and 2,400 children for weekly nightmares. And they found out that if you have frequent nightmares, you have a threefold risk of dying before the age of 70 compared to those with fewer nightmares.
Why?
Not only does it disturb your sleep, they also are linked to a higher risk of early death, according to the research, because the bad dreams accelerate cellular aging.
Hmm.
Do you guys suffer frequent nightmares?
No, I wouldn't use the word frequent.
Yeah, what's the definition in your mind of frequent?
Once a week, right?
Once a week, probably.
Gotta be.
I barely remember a dream once a month, so.
Really? You can't remember your dreams, huh?
I remember a lot of my dreams. My dreams are very detailed, too.
Yeah.
I know we do dream, but I just...
Don't know what's going on.
That's the whiskey.
That's like you driving through an intersection.
That's like you driving through an intersection.
Thank you.
What was that? I don't know.
When I'm driving...
I just woke up. I know I'm I slept. I know I dreamed, but
10 and 2, baby.
I don't know.
I still can't believe it's a thing. It's unbelievable.
There you go. Sadder story. Every Wednesday at 8:15. That was a good one. Well done, everybody.
Yeah. Good job.
Round of applause. Good stories. Good stats.
Yeah.
Made us think.
Yeah.
Made us wonder.
Yeah.
Made us ponder.
Space, some things. Space terrifies me.
Space is very scary, Bob.
Is the ocean or space scarier, you guys?
Space.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's infinite.
It's infinite. There's a bottom of the ocean. It's deep, but
there's a bottom. We don't know that bottom, though.
We know. There's a bottom. Were we going through?
I like the oceans.
We don't know the bottom of Crater Lake.
We're going all the way through?
They haven't been able to get to the bottom of Crater Lake.
I'm not saying it's not deep. They haven't gotten to the end of space either.
I think space is
a lot closer to the bottom of Crater Lake than we are the end of space.
You understand the risks a little more? I mean, they're fatal. They're serious. But I think you have a handle on the risks more than you have if you start going to the depths of the ocean.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They do know more about
space.
What's
the furthest we've been in space?
So deep.
The International Space Station?
Pluto.
We
had a satellite take a photo of us.
No, a person. Yeah. Not a person.
Yeah.
The moon. That ain't that far.
Is Elon going to go to Mars?
Made of cheese.
He's going to try.
All right. Let's get to an Open Championship preview, shall we?
Sure.
You guys ready to do that? Also, yep. Scottie Scheffler dropping a, why do we do this? That is next. All right, welcome back in. Somebody asking, didn't Elon Musk send a dead body into space? Does that count as a person?
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. I kind of want to say
that.
Well, I don't want to derail the segment.
Don't derail the segment. I want to get to this. It's the Open tonight.
Okay, I got to make a note because somebody just reminded me of a story
that
I wanted to use for Stutter Story this week, but I didn't.
Hold it for next week.
I need to write a memo down because this story is sad and also a little funny.
Oh.
And I just think
that's right up your alley.
Story. Yeah.
I almost said something there that would have gotten me in trouble, but I didn't. Anyways, the Open Championship begins tonight. Are we excited?
Not really.
Wow, just going to poo-poo it, huh?
Well, I don't stay
Bummer
up
Bummer Brandon
watch
coming in,
it.
Peeing in my Cheerios last Open
Dude,
of the year.
When we were noon to three, I would stay up until 11 o'clock and watch the tee off.
Now you just wake up a little bit earlier, and you catch basically the majority of the first round.
That's what's funny is
you turn
wake
it on
up.
At 4 a.m., there's golf on your TV, it's great.
And somebody's like, they're only three or four holes in, and you're like, dude, this started at 11 o'clock last night. Why is this going so slow?
Kind of a slow round here. Anyway, Scottie Scheffler has I got a couple of stats I'm going to give you on this. But Scottie Scheffler, who is one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in golf, had his press conference going into the Open Championship. Now, this went on for about 5 minutes, so there was a longer version of this. And if you want to go find, you can go find it. I found it fascinating because when he wins, he gets the label of he's a boring guy. He's a boring golfer. He doesn't say much. He's not a very personable person. And I understand that from a lot of people's perspective. My take on it is, I think the way that he wins is boring because he's so dominant that none of them really come down to the 17th, 18th hole or go into a playoff. He doesn't leave a lot of drama. But when you dig into his press conferences, he's actually a pretty introspective guy. He gives you a lot of interesting quotes. This one probably took the cake about how to be fulfilled in life and how, for him, golf doesn't necessarily do that.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. I think, you know, I think I said something after the Byron this year about, like, it feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And I like to win the Byron Nelson Championship at home. I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that tournament. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner? You know, life goes on. Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at the sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world, and then they're like, what's the point?
That is the most real,
what's the point,
honest, depressing, but kind of true thing.
That's one of the best answers we've ever gotten from an athlete, to be honest.
Maybe ever, like in any sport ever. Just
Mount Rushmore of athlete takes of like, what's the point? And I think we all go through that in times in our lives. Like, if I accomplish this in my work, I'll be fulfilled. And you get there and you're like, oh, well, I mean,
what's the point? Yes or no at Dirt and Spring?
What's the point? People do this with families, right? Oh, if we just, you know, when I have a kid, I'll be, get married. Or like, yeah. I think we all have these kind of benchmarks in our life. And you think, if I get to that point, I'll be happy and fulfilled. And then you get there and you realize that's not always the case.
Yeah, very introspective view of this whole situation. It's why whenever I encounter somebody in my life who becomes stressed, and it can be any stress. It can be like, oh, the propane tank's out, I got a big barbecue this afternoon.
Right.
If that ever happens in front of me, I usually just say, well, none of this really matters.
None of this matters.
And
we're all gonna
that'll
die.
Hit people in weird ways if you say it at the most questionable time, because what do you mean? It'd be like, well, like, okay, you're late grilling. So? We're all going to die anyway.
What's the point? What does it mean?
And it's dark, but I kind of find some of that humor very hilarious. Aaron Rodgers had this, I believe. He basically, I can't remember what interview he said this in years ago, but he kind of echoed the same thing. It was, I worked hard my whole life to get to a point, and I got to that point. I got to the top of that mountain. Now what?
Now what?
And it's like, yep. Some guys can be continually driven by getting back to that, right? It's not that they're not competitive. Aaron Rodgers isn't competitive. It's just that other guys get there and go, that thing I worked hard for what felt like my whole life, I did it. And
I thought it was
going
to bring me some inner peace or an inner happiness that I didn't have before, and it didn't do that.
Certainly. You know, I think there's an element of this for everybody in whatever walk of life. Some people are doing a job because they make good money doing it, and it provides them a fun life. And some people are doing a job they've dreamed about doing, or some people are they got to a job that they didn't know they wanted to do, and they wanted to do it. But a lot of people, no matter walk of life, like, you can always get there and still go, all right, well, this is it.
Yeah.
It's not what I thought it was or made me feel. And so, like, I love this. I thought this was fantastic.
It's the ultimate, like, money doesn't buy happiness line. Everybody thinks if I just didn't have my financial problems to worry about, or if I had everything taken care of, I'd be happy in life. And that's something that people tell you with a lot of money. It doesn't necessarily buy. It doesn't mean you're going to be, your inner peace is going to be there. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfectly happy. I think this is something, to be honest with you, that Rory struggled with this year when he won the Masters. Like, that was such a big mountain that he climbed for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his only thing that he probably ever thought about, going to bed every night, waking up every morning. How do I win the Masters? How do I win the Masters? And then he did it, and it was like okay, now what do I do? Because that was his goal. That was the mountain that he tried to climb for essentially a decade. And I think he's been pretty honest about that at times this year when he's played bad, of like, I've kind of lost my fire a little bit. Like, that was such a big thing for me to accomplish, and I finally did it, and now I don't really know where to pivot, where my work's going to go to. And he's still going to be fine. He'll probably win more tournaments and majors and all that, but I don't know. Scottie Scheffler, to me, is a guy who is incredibly boring in the way that he wins, because he's so dominant when he's at his highest level, and he can run away from the field. And when he's putting well, there's really not anybody that can hold a torch to him, because he's such a good ball striker and he's such a good golfer. But I love his answers in his press conferences, and he has grown into a guy who's really comfortable in his own skin and gives you honesty that kind of a rarity in sports. Like hearing somebody just say, "What's the point?" was phenomenal.
I'm not here to inspire.
I'm not here to inspire anybody. Because what's the point? Because what's the point?
So good.
Like I honestly, if you thought that was interesting for 90, go. He went on for five minutes. And there's back and forth. Other reporters jump in and are like, "Well, what about this?" And he's like, "Yeah, I mean, what's the point?"
Would you guys be surprised based on hearing that? Because if you're talking like that, I think you're just reaching a different point of your life.
Yeah.
Would this shock you if he just retired in 2 years? I don't know if I would be surprised anymore.
I would be surprised because I think...
I don't know if I would, to be honest with you. Because of how religious and how much of a family man he is, if it became a thing of like, I don't ever get to see my... Because that was a larger part of his answer of like, if it ever got to that point where it was hindering my ability to be a dad and to be a father and to be a husband...
I mean, it just
The thing will be is he will be so financially set that he will be able to afford to bring his family with him on a lot of...
I mean, I think he's already there, probably.
I mean, they're there, but, you know, and they're...
That doesn't count the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of practice.
I don't think it'll be 2 years. I think it'll be more like 5 to 7 years when the kids are school age and involved in activities and doing their own sorts of things. How much will he want to be gone week after week after week?
I mean, the other part of his life that the benefit gives him being a great golfer is that he can kind of pick and choose the tournaments he wants to play in, right? You can kind of cultivate your schedule that way. One quick stat on the Open Championship, and then we'll go to our final segment here. The average driving distance rank week of victory by major champions in the last 20 years. Masters, you got to be a top 20 driver of the golf ball. PGA, you got to be a top 20 driver of the golf ball. U.S. Open, you got to be top 15. In the U.S. Open, the average driving distance rank of the champion in the last 20 years is outside of the top 30.
Yeah.
So it's one of the few tournaments where it kind of brings everybody together. And it's like, if you bomb it, that's great. Maybe it helps you out. But you also
get you in trouble, too.
Don't have to do that in courses like this. Who is our pick to win the Open Championship? We're going to give you your pick here. Who do we like? Is Scotty, I don't care about anything, Scheffler going to do it? Gothic Scotty? Is he going to pull
it off? The weather's supposed to be crappy.
I believe in death.
It looked crappy yesterday. I was watching the...
There's going to be really bad weather splits, it sounds like, depending on, like, I think I can't remember if it's early Thursday, late Friday, or late Thursday, early Friday, but somebody's supposed to get a really bad draw.
Well, they were doing the whole, like, if we're 50 yards from the green, this is what the shot looks like, and then somebody would hit the shot. It was pissing rain and wind.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that looks fun.
That's Bannon in February, baby.
Who are you going with? I don't want to pick the same person.
I'm going to go off the wall a little bit because I'm looking for value. I always put a bet on Rory to win every major that he plays in. It's been costly over the last 10 years outside of one tournament. Tommy Fleetwood's my guy.
Don't do it.
I'm doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. He's my new guy.
Go a little further off the board. Robert McIntyre.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Won the Scottish Open last year. I like that pick.
I'm going to go Xander.
Back to back?
Yeah.
Okay. He was asked yesterday, where are your trophies? And he responded, I don't know.
Yeah, he went Jokic. I don't know where they are.
He doesn't even know. He says he thinks his majors are in a vault or his parents' house. He said he legitimately doesn't know where his gold medal is.
So good.
God. There you go. Open Championship tees off tonight. Excited for it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. There is a preview. And you know what? What does it all mean, folks? Who knows? But we'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Well, at 10:30 tonight, as we close with some Barry Manilow for swag. Are you going to go Barry Manilow into the opening round of the Open Championship tonight? Are you going to go to bed?
He definitely will. This will be charged.
Yeah. You can't go to bed right after a concert.
No. Not Barry Manilow.
That's a two-hour come down.
Oh, I bet it is a come down. Barry Manilow still make people horny?
At 82, does he still do it? Let us know tonight.
Well, I'll give you a report in the morning.
Yes.
Good for you.
2 inches is a lot, buddy. Have you seen Barry Manilow in concert before?
Yeah, I saw him last time he came to Portland.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're Barry Manilow sicko, huh?
It's fantastic.
I'd love to get him on the program.
How many artists do you have that every time they come through Portland, you'll go?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because Janet Jackson's definitely on that list, right?
Yeah, or at least will try to make the effort to go.
Like, I don't think you went to the last Janet one.
I did not.
Because she had to reschedule, right?
She had to reschedule.
Does she still get guys up on stage and gyrate on them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How would you react if that was you?
Well, you know how he'd react. He'd stand tall. Is that cheating?
Just hope you're not wearing sweatpants.
Oh, you know what pants he would wear. He wears them here.
He's wearing the nut
shorts.
Huggers.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's true.
Is that cheating, though?
No.
No. Not at that. Like, if Nicki Minaj grabs me, pulls me on stage, and just grinds my brain out, am I going back to an angry wife?
That's staying on your shorts. Do you sometimes drive through an intersection unsure if the light was green or red? 54% of you say yes.
Oh, my God.
Victory!
Well, it's not over yet. It's
not. Go vote. And are you worried about the Blazers' future in Portland after Adam Silver referenced needing a new arena? 55% of you say no. 44% said yes. I enjoyed the response. Melissa said, I'm not concerned. That's a pretty good way to put it. I'm not concerned. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed the show, we missed the first couple of minutes, but man, we pay it off in the next 2 hours and 50. Good little show. Go check the
good
podcast.
Interview there by football Tyler Ivins.
Tyler Ivins.
Knoxville SEC Bro was football. Great. Go check that. 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Call on us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.